Yes, once Guru Maharaj informed us that there's the stereo, when you say Tantra, this concept that comes to people's mind, he's saying, but in this sense, this context, Tantra meant going from unqualified to qualified, or as you say, converting misconception into proper conception. And in that sense, these things are all thematically connected, because we could use the word lolium, which means hankering. It's one meaning. Desire is another. So in Upadeshamritam, which Srila Guru Maharaj says is really Mahaprabhu, but speaking through Rupa Goswami. Because Rupa Goswami is highlighting the essential teachings of Mahaprabhu. We shouldn't think of them as disconnected. So in a famous sloka there, saying what is favorable, what's unfavorable, atyaharas prayasas cha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangas chaloliam cha shadbir bhaktir binashati. These are the things that spoil devotion. Atyahara, overeating, or being overly acquisitive, acquiring more things that are necessary. Like when Bali Maharaj is offering Vamandev before he knows his full identity, he's offering him, give the king, should give the Brahmins something in charity. They're saying, whatever you want, I can give you that. Maybe you need a village, maybe you want to make a mot or something. You need a few rye of land, or you need a village. And Vamandev said, no, three steps of land is sufficient for me. And he said, oh, you foolish boy, he doesn't understand the ways of the world, and three steps of land is nothing. But Vamandev says, I've heard that to ask for more than you need, or to get more, that's not good for spiritual life. So three steps will be sufficient for me. I don't want to take more than I actually need. Of course, with the three steps, he's taking everything. With two steps, taking everything. And third step, Atma Nivedanam, taking Bali Maharaj himself, which was the whole object, really, was to shine a spotlight on Atma Nivedanam, offering oneself. Diksha Kale Bhakta Kore Atma Samarpan. We're told Diksha proper is that time when one offers oneself to Guru. So we can understand that's kind of a lifelong pursuit. We don't think, oh yes, I did that so many years ago. We wish we did that so many years ago. We hope we did that. We're trying to do that. Sometimes when I would go and to Ukraine or Russia, or people would say, tell us the story of how you came to Krishna consciousness. I said, it didn't happen yet. It's like in process. So I'm trying to come to Krishna consciousness, trying to move toward that plane. So Srila Guru Maharaj says, yes, that's the progressive second-class position that you refer to, converting misconception into proper conception. Because we should say that, says a footnote, sidebar, the Mahabhagavata, the highest level devotee, they see everything perfectly adjusted. Nothing needs to be adjusted. They don't see any misconception. Right? Or what I find peculiarly of peculiar interest is in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, that there's Brahm illusion, but his illusion is to see so-called ordinary or finite, and always see it as representative of the extraordinary or the infinite. When we were just in Puri, we had the opportunity with Srila Avadhut Maharaj and all the devotees to go to the Purushottam Gaudiya Math, where Srila Saraswati Thakur stayed, including his final days. And there they have the Chatak Parbat. Right? So at first, when we got there, because each place we go, and it's funny, I tell Maharaj, he starts saying where we're going to go, and I said, remember, each stop is an hour. And he says, no, no, you can just say a little something. But it's never just a little something. Even we got to Parmanandapuri as well, who's Uddhava, suddenly, and that was after Gambhir, suddenly some new significance occurred to me. That went on for some time. I mean, by the grace of our Guru Bhargava. So I try and tell Mars, it's not possible to visit one of these holy places briefly. You have to give, it will demand your full attention. And that also reminds me of when we went on Parikrama and Vrindavan, and we heard that Srila Guru Maharaj, the three places he contemplated so-called retirement. We know he ended up at the Aparad Bhanjan Airport in Navadvip, with Gambhir, but first was Uddhav Kyari in Vrindavan, which is where Uddhava delivers the message to Radharani and the Brajagopis from Krishna, and the Brahmar Gita is spoken, where the bumblebee comes in Radharani and her divine madness expresses so many things. Apparently, finding fault with Krishna. So this is good for our theme. Right? When is that's the highest? What highest expression is fault finding with Krishna, we can say. Finding fault with Krishna. But who from the who is voicing such sentiments? Srimati Radharani. So that Krishna says, her bartsan, her curse that steals my mind away from the reverential hymns of the Vedas. Echoing that sentiment, Srila Keshava Maharaj said, if Sridhar Maharaj curses me, I take it as Veda, like a blessing. So anyway, when we were there, we went to Uddhav Kyari, Srila Avadhut Maharaj, myself, and a group of Russian devotees. But it was very hard to find, had been neglected for so long, there were no markers, and only some old men from the new, they come out, it's in that direction. Yeah. And when we got there, suddenly these cowherd men appeared with the big turbans and the long. I don't know where they came from, I'm not sure. But they came and they said, this place was so great many years ago. We saw festivals in our childhood. And they were lamenting that time had gone, now it was neglected. And if you will again, you know. So we were moved by that notion. But at any rate, in Puri, Mahaprabhu, in remembrance of Vrindavan, when he's seeing the sand dune, he's telling Govardhan. That Chatak Parvat, he's calling Govardhan. So when we went there, someone said, this is Govardhan? And I was thinking, how? Then I mean, oh, Chatak Parvat, Mahaprabhu, when he sees the sand dune, his brahm, his illusion, is to see that as Govardhan. When he sees the ocean, his illusion is to see that ocean as Jamuna. So not only is he seeing everything like the Mahabharata, perfectly adjusted, but rather, whatever he sees, however finite, he's tracing it back to the central conception of the infinite. And that will be the plane from which everything is judged, favorable or unfavorable, desirable, undesirable. We're told that plane, how can you take one step in that soil, the guru soil, the guru world, if not out of a service necessity. We told the other day, to step over someone that is an offense because of the presence of Atma, Paramatma. But when in Puri, when Mahaprabhu is going for the darshan of Jagannath, we're told one lady, she's so excited, genuinely excited, spiritually, her heart leaps up and she's running and she wants to see Jagannath, and Mahaprabhu is so tall, she automatically thinks, well, from him you could see very well. And she climbs up on Mahaprabhu. She's using Mahaprabhu to see Jagannath. Right? I mean, she climbed up Mahaprabhu. He's over 2 meters tall. And his servitor, Govinda, is ready to drag that lady, like, you don't know what offense you've done. And Mahaprabhu turns to him and says, I wish I had such eagerness. What she's got, I want a drop of that. So from one perspective, this is offensive, it's very offensive, you'll go to hell for such a thing. But Mahaprabhu himself is saying, oh, what she's got, that's what I want, that's what we want. So what is the movement? Is it the foot movement, where the foot landed? What is it? What's inside? What's in the heart? So Rupa Goswami says, Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadyanavartam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktirutama. It's all about motive. What is the motive for movement? Whether something is divine or mundane. So still, we're told for the progressive position is the intermediate position. Progressive devotion is enacted from the intermediate plane. Vision of Madhyam Adhikari. Guru Maharaj also pointed out in Gaudiya Math, he said, controversy was kept from the neophyte section, because they will be unable to handle that. Lagu. Well, guru means heavy, heavier than the Himalayas. Lagu means light, light as a feather. So we see, what is the cliche, stereotype, light as a feather? A breeze comes in, lifts the feather up, it's twirled around, and it falls somewhere. Another breeze comes in, lifts the feather up, drops it in another place. The plight of the neophyte. Hearing one thing, that makes sense, and going in that. Hearing another plane, the opposite, going in another, that makes sense, going in that plane. Confusion. Unable to discriminate between higher, lower, desirable, undesirable, genuine devotion, feigned devotion, counterfeit devotion, what is condemned, cannot understand. What is in their own interest? So lagu has to connect to guru. Why guru is heavier than Himalaya? Is when I heard that, I remember in Bhagavad Gita, first reading and hearing, and when it came to Krishna saying, of this, I'm this, of that, I'm that. So I thought, when it comes to mountains, I bet you he's gonna say, and of mountains, I am Mount Everest. So here it comes, and it says, of mountains, I'm Sumeru. I mean, what's Sumeru? Not knowing what Sumeru is at the time, still not really knowing. But then he said, of immovable objects, I'm the Himalayas. That's interesting. What is that? Why? Why is that important? Of what cannot be moved, I'm the Himalayas. What does Guru Maharaj say? Guru, heavier than the Himalayas. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam shabde parech nishnatam brahmanupasam ashrayam. When we're indicated to go to Guru, what is Guru? Brahmana, totally so much sheltered in the spiritual conception, cannot be moved by any misconception. Right? That personality. Sometimes Guru Maharaj will say, this shikha, right, will be, he says, take the shikha and tie, the lagu disciples shall tie their shikha to the lotus feet of Guru. So when the winds of misconception come, being tossed this way and that way, still being tied to the lotus feet of Gurudev, will survive the onslaught of misconception. So, and just to continue the conceit that Guru Karana Dharanam, the captain of the boat, human form of life being the boat, right? The Guru being the captain, and the winds are Veda, Krishna coming, the favorite, how to negotiate those winds is how to fly, sail the boat properly. When you go into the wind, what is it called? It's a nautical term, where they decide at some point to turn the boat and tack. That's what it's called, tack. So sometimes what appears to be counterintuitive, Guru will know that. What is favorable, what is unfavorable. Lagu needs to be in connection with Guru. The disciple needs to be in connection with Guru to properly navigate, to understand what is the purport of the scriptures. I remember once in, what is the town called? Donetsk? Is that a town in the Ukraine? We were there, initiated one lady on behalf of Srila Gurudev, and she wanted to know what should be her morning sadhana. So I said, well, what are you doing now? And she said, I chant the Narayan Kavacha. I said, really? Well, why do you do that? And she said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, in his book, he's saying how important this is. And if you'll do this every day, so many amazing things will happen. And I said, oh, yeah, the Narayan Kavacha, sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, yeah. And interestingly, in his lifetime, one of his disciples started doing that. They read there, and one who, this Narayana Kavacha, this is the supreme, and one who will do this, don't. And so they started doing it. When Prabhupada heard about it, he said, why are you doing this? I never told you to do this. He said, no, in your purport, says how important. He said, you stop this. So, what really, how to proceed, we need to get guidance from the superior Vaishnav, Guru Achinoti Yashastartam, who can extract the inner meaning of the scripture so that we'll understand the same thing that is unfavorable in one circumstance is favorable in another. So, your original question was about attachment. First question. So I'm reminded of whom we know affectionately as Malta Malini, our god sister from Malta. When she was leaving Calcutta once, like she's leaving the next day, but the day before, and the Dum Dum Park Mat, there's Radha, Guru Gauranga, Radha, Madan Mohanju. She saw one cat and thought to be affectionate to the cat. And just a little footnote, cats and dogs in India, they don't occupy the same position they might in other countries. There are not a lot of lal cats in India, you could say. So, so cats are suspicious of people. They don't come if you call them. They shrink away. But she thought, oh, maybe the cat doesn't understand my affectionate nature. And no, here, kitty. She's going like, and she thought, oh, I'll just grab the cat and like pet and the cat will understand I'm friend. Said the cat bit her with the teeth into her arm, like heavily. So she had to get a rabies shot or a series, you know, anyone who knows, that's very painful. And so it's the day before she's leaving, right? And the next time she goes to see Gurudev to say goodbye, her arms all wrapped up in bandages, you know. And she comes before him to get some parting words. And Gurudev says, do not be attached too much to any person, place, or thing, or animal in this world. And she's sort of smiling and blushing. But when he said this list, in the end, he said, or any human being. Like that. So there's that, how we conventionally understand what is attachment. And even we could say, in the case of human beings, very often, if not most often, if not all the time, whom we're attached to, we're projecting something onto another person. We're so deeply attached to a person, place, or thing, but where's the attachment? Is not in them. The attachment is in us. It's some conceptual thing. They symbolically represent something to us that we feel we cannot break that or will somehow become undone, be unsafe, full of anxiety, have a meaningless life, whatever it might be. But really, the seat is within us. Right? So, oh, this reminds me as well, when we were making Golden Volcano, Srila Guru Maharaj, at first he kept saying, Golden Volcano, Divine Lava. And then he would say, is lava love? Like that. Is lava love? And then he would go on describing a little more. Golden Volcano, Divine Lava. Is lava love? And so he asked me, he said, are there any connections between the word love and lava? So this is pre-internet, pre-digital, when there were these things called libraries. You've probably read about them on Wikipedia. And so we live next to a major university with a pretty large library. So I went there and I thought, I'm going to consult what they call OED, the Oxford English Dictionary. It's huge, like each giant book volume for a letter, like A, B. So I thought, I'll look up love, because I couldn't find any connection with that and lava. So I find in the book L, love, and it's this book you read with a magnifying glass. The type is very small. Saying, going up and down the page. And at last it said, Sanskrit, from the Sanskrit, lobha, lubhyati, which means desire, like passionate desire. Like, we know if you associate with Americans for any particular length of time, you're likely to hear them say something like, I love pizza. Right? So I can say, is that love? Pizza love. Is that love? Or we're back to hankering, mundane hankering, desire to consume something. When it's pizza, we can smile and laugh about it. When it's another person, it's not so funny if you're the one being consumed or devoured by somebody's lust or desire in the name of love, right? An attachment. they're so attached to this consuming tendency that Guru Maharaj says is identified in the pages of the Bhagavatam as hridrogam, right? Heart disease. As he told that man, what is the root cause of suffering? What is this heart disease? This I want, thinking, if I can acquire something and devour that, consume that. We're called consumers, right? All over the world, consumer protection. We're consumers. If I can consume something, I'll find happiness and satisfaction and fulfillment. And it's really on the basis of remembering the very high sloka, Vikriditam Brajabhudu Viritam Jibishnu, Sridhanvito Anusranayad Artha Varnayedya, Bhakti Param Bhagavati Pratilabhyakamam. So it's so extraordinary that in this practical dealing and situation that Guru Maharaj would recall this sloka from the Rasa Lila section, but use it in practical application by saying, factoring in reincarnation, and saying, when I was in the body of an elephant, I devoured jungles. Like the other day, Paramananda Prabhu and I saw, it's one of the attractions of Chiang Mai, is this is the natural habitat of elephants. They actually lived here before, and they still live here. And we saw them there, just a mother and a calf, eating their daily 80 kilos of jungle or forest. So they said, when I was in the body of an elephant, I ate a jungle, and that hunger wasn't satisfied. And when I was in the body of a stool-eating pig, I ate a hill of stool, and it was not satisfied. And interestingly, when Guru Maharaj preached to this man like that, the man started to cry because he was a little embarrassed by what he had said before that. Like, what is the benefit of establishing some place? You're just talking about Krishna. Why don't we help people? And Guru Maharaj is saying, you'll not help them that way. Only by repurposing attachment will you help them. Right? So the man started to cry. And then he said, Swamiji, I believe in God. And Guru Maharaj said, your eyes are the evidence of that. So in one place, we're told that lolyam, that hridrogam, that heart disease, that mundane attachment to persons, places, things of this world, that will be an obstruction on the path of progressive devotion. Then, in his counter sloka, Krishna Bhakti Rasa, Bhavitamati, Kriyadamyati, Kutopina Labhyate, Tatra Lolyam, Mulamekalam, Janmakoti, Janmakoti Sukritar Nalabhyate. Here, now he's saying Lolyam is good. He just said, loyam is what will spoil devotion, attachment, this type of mundane. Now suddenly, there's some other type of loyam that's the real thing. And if you've got that, that's your ticket. That's the purchase price of Krishna consciousness. So then it means, ultimately, desire, hankering, attachment, all these things, they're not bad. It's toward whom? And where is that located? Right? Deep in the heart's core? Right? He's saying, Janmakoti Sukritar Nalabhyate. You won't get this type of hankering for 10 million births of doing the right thing. That's amazing. 10 million lifetimes of doing the right thing won't give you this. Where will you get the what's required? This lolium, this hankering, ashakti, otherwise described, Rupa Goswami. Shraddha, faith will lead you to devotees. Sadhu Sangha, you'll associate with them. In their association, Sadhu Sangha Satovrade, you'll improve. Your hankering will improve. It will shift. Param Drishva Nivartate. You can start hankering for real, substantial things, just as you can here. Much chitta, that gata prana, what does he say? Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. As deep, sensual an experience can be in the mundane sense, can be even deeper, more intense, greater intensity and magnitude in the spiritual experience. But where will that be awakened? Bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya, in association with those who have that. This once, the lolium can also be described as hankering. As Guru Maharaj would say, earnest, sincere hankering, not curiosity. We should not confuse being curious about something with genuine hankering for a connection with it substantially. So that devotee, actually Shyamananda Prabhu, he said, how do get this hunger? That was the word being used. And Guru Maharaj said, associate with the hungry. And we know, like from being with Srila Gurudev, sometimes Vaishnava Maharaj, Srila Shravar Prabhu would point this out. Even if we had just taken a feast, if Gurudev started describing prasadam, different preparation, he described them in such a way that he awakened your appetite again. Even if you'd just eaten, all suddenly you were, this. He stimulated your appetite. And that's what we're told, that will happen in association with those who have some genuine hunger and appetite for Krishna consciousness. If you can't follow what they're saying, serve them. Right? And what's in them will be transferred to you. Like an infectious disease, but in a good way. That's why they say something. Don't, you know, you make sure you clean the glasses and sterilize everything. And we're saying the opposite of that. If someone's infected with Krishna consciousness, take their remnants, and you'll be infected too, and that's a good thing. Right? Serve them, and what's in their heart, which is not only the love and affection, but the hunger, hankering, attachment, if you will, attachment to Krishna, to devotion, to devotees, that will be awakened in your own heart. Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, under their direction, they tell you what to do, how to make your approach. Anartha Nivritti, misconception is gradually being converted into proper conception. Artha means, in this sense, meaning. Anartha, the wrong idea, the misconception. Anartha Nivritti, that's changing. What we misconceived in the beginning is now shifting and moving towards proper conception. Nishta. Nishta. So what was the lagu light on the superficial soil, like the little plants in the nursery, they can't be put in the outside soil yet until they get some roots. When they become deeply rooted, then they can be transplanted to different environments and survive, not only survive, but thrive. Right? So the progressive madhyam Adhikari devotee, by converting misconception to proper conception repeatedly and in many varieties of ways, they get some strength, right? And some insight and some confidence to proceed. Right? Nishta, ruchi. Then what was previously being done out of obligation, the order of Guru, sometimes even painfully, tapa, right? Voluntarily inconveniencing oneself for the sake of spiritual realization. Now there's some actual taste for those things. Person likes to hear about Krishna. Nama Ganesh, Sada Ruchi, likes, has some taste for the holy name. Ruchi, then what? Ashakti, that's attachment. So now the good, now being attached to the right things, to spiritual association. It's all right to transfer our attachment to devotees, substantial devotees. We want their association. We want to be in their association. We hanker for their association. Bhav, the bhavankur. At this point, the bhakti lata beej has sprouted, blossomed, and is flowering, yielding a sweet fragrance that Krishna finds pleasing. Krishna actually is attracted to the devotion that's in the heart of that devotee. And that intensifies the bhav, produces the fruit prem. Like that. Attached to seva. Daruka, Hare Krishna.